Hi, welcome to the Nat Decants podcast. I'm your wine-soaked host, Natalie McLean. Here are some tips on how to get the most from your visits to wineries. I think wine country vacations are among the most relaxing. The scenery is beautiful, the restaurants are great, and really, how can you get grumpy when you're tasting wine all day? But before we get to those tips, I'd like to tell you about this week's delicious recipe for barbecue salmon with whiskey molasses marinade that comes from Tracy Black, chef and co-owner of Epicuria, a retail fine food store and full-service caterer in Ottawa. And you can find that recipe and search for more recipes for hors d'oeuvres, appetizers, entrees, breads, and desserts at nataliemclean.com. And if you'd like to submit recipes to be featured in this podcast and the newsletter with credits to you and your company, please email me at natdecants@nataliemclean.com. We have two wine words to mention this week. The first word of the week is stemmy. A stemmy wine results from leaving the grapes in contact with the stems too long during fermentation. The wine will taste harsh, bitter, and astringent. These wines are also referred to as stalky or green. The second word is extracted. Extraction is the process of taking the flavor, color, and tannin out of the grape skins during maceration, when the grape skins are steeped in grape juice during fermentation. It's a similar process to steeping tea and gives wine its color, flavor, and structure. The challenge is to extract the right amount of these compounds so that the wine is balanced. Highly extracted wines are described as full-bodied, intense, and alcoholic with powerful fruit flavors and tannins. This can be a criticism if it means that the wine is out of balance, and these wines are often referred to as fruit bombs. You can find more definitions in my wine glossary on the website. The question of the week is, what does corked mean, and how can I tell whether a wine is corked? Corked doesn't actually refer to bits of cork floating in your wine glass. That's another whole other problem. Natural corks, made from the bark of cork trees grown in Spain and Portugal, can contain a chemical compound called 2,4-6-trichloranisol, or TCA. The wine interacts with TCA to create the taint, and it's estimated that 5 to 10% of natural corks are faulty this way, though that's improving with more careful practices and better technology. Even a mild case of taint from natural cork strips the wine of its expressive aromas, and a severe one makes it smell like moldy, wet cardboard. This defect is why screw caps are coming into vogue. You bypass this issue altogether. Although I can't answer all of the emails I receive via my site, about several hundred a day, I do try to answer as many as I can in the Frequently Asked Questions section of my website. And in my new book, Red, White, and Drunked All Over, A Wine-Soaked Journey from Grape to Glass, I tackle many of the aspects of wine from grape to glass: how wine is made, marketed, matched with food, consumed, and cellared. I do this through storytelling, taking my readers behind the scenes of the international wine world, visiting its most evocative places, and sharing adventures with its most colorful and hilarious personalities. As usual, if you'd like to find out more about upcoming wine events, wines to buy, and other newsy bits and gossip that are part of my free e-newsletter, you can sign up for it at nataliemclean.com. And now sit back, pour yourself a glass of something, and enjoy this week's story entitled Having a Vine Old Time: How to Make the Most of Your Visit to Wine Country. Number one, plan your visits. Visit wineries clustered together, and probably no more than 3 to 5 a day, 2 in the morning, 1 for lunch, and 1 or 2 in the afternoon as your pace slows. That leaves you time to taste and talk. Go to both small and large places to get a sense of the range of wines produced in the region. Number two, designate a driver. If you refuse to spit, you need to pick a designated driver who won't imbibe or inhale. You need to know when to quit, too. the law often states in many provinces and states that wineries can serve a maximum of 4 1-ounce samples or thereabouts per person. Number 3, take a cooler. Pack a picnic lunch in a cooler, and then you'll have a place to store the wines that you buy so that they don't cook in the trunk. Most wineries will ship anywhere within the same state or province, and many across the country. So think twice before lugging those bottles around. A case of 12 weighs 37 pounds. If you do buy a bottle, get one that's only available at the winery and ask the vintner to sign it. Number 4, drive in a comfy car. A car with reclining seats and clouded glass is ideal for those in-between winery naps in parking lots. Even better, rent a stretch limo. Number 5, avoid strong smells. Perfume, cologne, and aftershave all interfere with wine's aromas, so skip them when you're going to taste. Number 6, wear dark clothing. Even if you're an expert spitter, the person next to you may not be. So avoid also t-shirts that read, "Gonna drink myself stupid." Number 7, call ahead. If your favorite winery isn't open to the public, call to ask if you can drop by. Many will welcome fans by appointment. Number 7, go early. Tasting rooms are much less crowded in the mornings before lunch and less packed on weekdays than weekends. And even though Cabernet at 10 a.m. may not sound that appealing, your palate is actually at its best and freshest in the morning. Number 8, avoid tour buses. This is a good rule in general, but especially when you're in wine regions. If you see a bus at a winery parking lot, come back later. Also, avoid people in polyester suits wearing stickers that say, "Hi, my name is..." Number 8, spit. Expectorating, spitting, is just something you need to do if you're going to visit a lot of wineries and taste a lot of wine. Don't feel guilty about dumping what's left in your tasting glass sample in the spit bucket as well. But avoid rinsing your glass in it or drinking from it, as we saw in that movie Sideways. Number 8, taste and savor. Tasting several wines is not only fun, it's instructive. You can compare different styles when you try them side by side. Of course, you can do this at home, but it's more expensive to open 4 more bottles at once. Begin with light, dry white wines and progress to full-bodied reds, and then finally try sweet wines. Number 9, experiment. Try wines you've never tasted before. Widen your range, surprise yourself. Ask the tasting room staff which wine the vintner is best known for. Number 9, take a notebook. It doesn't make you a wine nerd to want to remember the wines that you've tasted. Number 10, ask questions. Unless they're swamped with visitors, most tasting room personnel love to chat about their wines and the region. Start by asking how their wine differs from that of nearby wineries and which dishes it would complement. Number 12, eat. Be sure you have breakfast before you go and take a snack for the road. Food helps to absorb alcohol. Eating bland crackers between sips will also keep your palate from getting overloaded. Avoid eating garlic and spicy food at lunch and wait till the tasting's over for those strong-flavored foods. Number 13, drink water. One effect of even just tasting alcohol, not even drinking it, is that you get dehydrated. Pack several bottles of water in the car and swig often. 13, take the kids. Most wineries are set in beautiful country locations where children can play outdoors. And even if the kids aren't drinking for a few more years, they can still be fascinated by these grape farms and the process of making wine. Just keep them away from any breakables in the tasting room and from red buttons on the farm equipment outside. Number 14, ask to be on the mailing list. Some wineries produce such small quantities of wine that you need to be part of their loyal customer base to buy any. A visit to a winery is a great time to express your interest, but avoid the approach of taking out a thick wad of bills, fanning them under the owner's nose and asking, "What do you got that's good and pricey?" So that's it for this week, other than, you know, those ornamental little water features in the front of wineries are not for swimming in, even if you've had a lot of samples. So just keep those tips in mind and you'll have such fun in wine country. If you enjoyed this podcast, please let others know about them. There's more information about the book, Red, White, and Drunk All Over, and my free e-newsletter at nataliemaclean.com. Tune in again in another month for an exciting episode. In the meantime, drink up. Cheers, Natalie. This podcast and its content are a copyright of Natalie Maclean, 2007.